I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibration. She's giving me the excitation.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, let me tell you a little bit about me before we get started. I'm a speaker, a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and author. And I've been a part of the metaphysical community all my life, and along the way, I completed a series of formal studies as well. This show is about those metaphysical topics that you can use to help make your life better. After all, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the promoter-producer of the Rota Psychic Fair, which we just had at the Monterey Fairgrounds 3 weekends ago. It was a fabulous event. So many vendors and readers and healers and attendees. It was a great time. It was a wonderful time, and everybody enjoyed it. Get on the email list for rotapsychicfair.com and find out about the upcoming events. For instance, the quarterly previews, the solstice and equinox celebrations. So many things going on that you may want to be a part of. You can pick and choose or do them all. Go to rotapsychicfair.com and get on that email list. And while you're at it, don't forget to get on the email list for goodvibrationsradio.com and like us on Facebook. We post a lot of information throughout the course of the week that potentially can help us, inform us, or just give us something to allow us to move forward. Well, here we are, the 13th of November, a year that's been predicted to go fast is going fast. This was the Red Rooster year. It's a fast year. It's a year that required us all to buckle down and pay attention and focus our attention where we needed it most. And most of you know that I love to start each show with a little day by day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh. He chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourselves. Allen wanted all of us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters your life, and that your present reality is a direct outcome of your past thoughts, intentions, beliefs, and actions. But your future is not predestined by your past. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, your intentions, your beliefs, and actions, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances no matter where you are. And in Day by Day, his essay has been broken into separate sections for each day of the month. And today, for the 13th day of the month, he tells us, focus on ideas. No person can be confronted with difficulty which he has not the strength to meet and subdue. Every difficulty can be overcome if rightly dealt with. Anxiety is unnecessary. The task which cannot be overcome ceases to be a difficulty and becomes an impossibility, and there is only one way of dealing with an impossibility. Namely, to submit to it. The late Dr. Wayne Dyer used to say, there's only two things to worry about. Those things you can control and those things you can't control. And then he would say, but if you can control the thing you're worrying about, then you can change it. And he'd also say, and if you can't control the thing you're worrying about, then you need to stop worrying about it because you can't control it. And essentially, that's what James Allen is telling us. If we have no ability to alter, affect, or influence what is occurring, that we need to not worry about. We need to make the choices and take the actions that are appropriate for us, but we need to not worry about what we cannot influence or alter. And if we can influence or alter it, then do it and stop worrying about it. Focus on ideas. No person can be confronted with a difficulty which he has not the strength to meet and subdue. Every difficulty can be overcome if rightly dealt with. Anxiety is unnecessary. The task which cannot be overcome ceases to be a difficulty and becomes an impossibility. And there is only one way of dealing with an impossibility, namely to submit to it. I've shared many times on the show that I have a little routine I go through every day. I go through a series of forgiveness exercises, of gratitude affirmations, of self-love affirmations. And one thing I also do is I read from the Daily Word put out by Unity. And the Daily Word has a positive affirmation with an explanatory paragraph that follows it. And for Monday, November 13th, Unity tells us in the Daily Word, I join with others in love and all of humanity is uplifted. Now, I can't think of a more positive idea for us to plant in ourselves when we look at the polarization going on in our country. And if all of these polarized figures would just say, I join with others in love and all of humanity is uplifted, it would not only create a better connection among people, it could create a better series of choices in what people are choosing. Because very often we see people choosing things that are harmful to other people. That's not a loving approach. We have to take care. I was recently talking with someone and we were talking about the whole idea of aging. And as you age, you start to get a perspective on what is really important and what's not really important. So something that may have bothered you when you were 20, you may find out didn't require the energy you put into it when you're 50. So that being said, it's time for us to transition to someone who's here to tell us how to create connections. Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years, and his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues, and in the past 8 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco to King City. And he joins us on the second Monday of each month with his segment, Speaking of Listening. Let's have a little musical introduction to Dr. Arne Buss and his segment, Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. To the sound from deep within, it's only beginning to find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar, as he so generously said. I'm your host, Arne Buss. Speaking of Listening, it's about ways of improving your relationships by listening deep within your heart, as the song says, and both within your own heart and connecting with the other person's heart. That's what it's all about. And if you think about what relationships are really about, it is about that heart-to-heart connection. Now, I will be giving workshops on effective communication and relationship building, and I also have individual sessions, and I work with couples. So to find out more, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com, that's all one word, consciousawareheart.com, or look at my website, conscioussawareheart.com or www.conscioussawareheart.com. And the reason that heart is in there and the reason why I call it conscious and aware is that when you're connecting with your with really what is inside, it is all about being conscious and being aware. In other words, being aware of what your thoughts and your feelings are and becoming aware of what the other person's thoughts and their feelings are. And to be conscious means to be doing this in a mindful way, in a way which is emphasizing the being in the present with that person. Because listening is not just about hearing what the words that the other person is saying. It's about engaging in that heart-centered dialogue in which even if there's some kind of disagreement, that the purpose, the objective, is to enhance that relationship. Now, I firmly believe that if the kinds of approaches that I talk about were embraced by people in the political arena, to name one, that there wouldn't be so much strife, there wouldn't be so much stridency and so much angst and anger and lashing out, that there would be more of a helpful dialogue in which everybody's point of view is taken into account and nobody feels like they're a victim of things. Because as I'll get into today a little bit, a lot of those feelings of victimhood come from a place of what you're thinking and what you're believing about things. And those thoughts and those beliefs may or may not be true. This is particularly appropriate at this time of year, with Thanksgiving just 10 days away from when I'm speaking to you here. If your family is like many, it may be the case that your holidays are not a simple, blissful, joyous time like some of the more Pollyanna-ish movies and presentations will share. The holidays can often be a time where families get torn apart. Families are rife with conflict. And the thing about conflict is that it can be either something which tears you apart, or it can be something that actually draws you together. And I'm going to talk about some more of that. And it starts with, you know, that that crazy uncle of yours who supports the politician who you hate, or the mother-in-law who has these sort of strange beliefs about maybe certain individuals or certain religions or certain races or nationalities. And it's not that these are positive attitudes. But the question is, what do you do with it? What do you do with that when you're in a relationship that you have no choice about? What I mean by that is that you don't get to choose your family, whether it's your immediate family, your extended family, whoever your family is, that's who they are. And I don't think anything positive can come out of situations where family members are estranged from each other or just not speaking or you know, just totally riven apart. So where it starts, and it starts with you. Remember the famous quote by Gandhi, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. Or, you know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me is another one. So let this begin with you. Resolve to have a holiday where even if you're hearing things that you disagree with, that you have a more effective way of dealing with that and responding instead of reacting. And by more effective, what I mean is one in which the relationship, again, this relationship that you have no choice over, is not harmed by the fact of a disagreement, whatever that disagreement may be. So I'm going to start by talking about how, you know, what to do when you disagree with what you're hearing. And then I'm going to recap a little bit some of what I've spoken to in previous segments about attitudes that block effective communication, because one or more of these is bound to come into play whenever there's a problem. And of course, I'll hopefully give you something in which you can overcome this. So if you turn on the TV, you will see situations where people are just completely talking past each other. Certainly on the cable news networks, you know, regardless of which one it is, time and time again, you have two or more people who are just trying to, you know, convince the other person. They're interrupting. They're not hearing what the other person is saying, and so they're not really responding to the other point. They have their talking points, their agenda, and they're going to push their agenda regardless of what the other person is saying. I mean, I saw one where there was somebody who had a significant amount of financial expertise, and he was explaining some basic financial facts to the host, and the host was having none of that. The host just kept interrupting him and disagreeing, saying, "No, no, you're wrong about that." And, you know, now you could agree or disagree, but the point was, is that if the host had listened to my show, then he would have taken a different tack. But it was clear that the host had his agenda, and maybe to a certain extent the guest had his. But in this particular case, the guest was actually just really explaining some facts, and it was the host who was interrupting and just trying to push his own point of view. But it's not just in politics. I mean, I've seen it in other venues, and you probably see it in situations, especially, again, if you think back to previous holidays, there's probably been at least one or more situations where people got into a verbal tiff, and everybody was talking past each other. Nobody was listening. So the thing is that you can't count on the other person to make a change. You know, the famous quote, it's attributed to Albert Einstein. I don't know if it really is. I've never actually seen the original one, but if you keep doing the same, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, or in a more colloquial way, if you keep doing what you always done, you keep getting what you always got. So, and the thing is that who is it that is motivated to change? So if you're waiting for the other person to change, then you're probably going to have a long wait. So let it begin with you. Be the peace. Be the change that you want to see. Now, what kind of change am I talking about? I'm talking about listening instead of disagreeing. When you hear something that you are disagreeing with, often what we do is, you know, we kind of mentally tap our foot. You know, okay, I heard something and I gotta respond to that. I can't let them get away with that. And so we'll either interrupt and say, no, you're wrong about that, the way this host did, or we'll kind of sit there, maybe silently, but we're not really hearing the other person's message. We're kind of mentally just tapping our foot, waiting for them to stop talking so we can say what we have to say. And that's not a dialogue. That's just two monologues. It's not the same thing. And, you know, if If you're okay with that, then you can stop listening right now. But if for some reason you want to make things different, then I recommend that you maybe hear a little bit about what I'm going to talk about. So it comes down to attitude. So the most fundamental thing is the attitude. And the attitude, your attitude, is how immediately manifests in how you see the other person. So you see the other person as being, you know, wrong or terrible. I saw on my Facebook feed somebody had posted or shared a woman who went out on a date. You know, I guess they'd connected with Tinder or one of these online things. And as soon as she found out that her date was a Trump supporter, she ended it right there. Said, no way this can happen. And, you know, and people were, people who were not in favor of Trump were generally supportive of this. But, you know, I think that she was missing a wonderful opportunity because, you know, without getting into the details of it, and you know, and I'm anything but a big fan of Donald Trump, but, or I should say, and the thing is that that's just one aspect. And I actually have, you know, good friends who cast their vote that way. And, you know, I disagree with it. But when it comes to the people that I know, they're not terrible people. They're not people who I want to cut out of my life just because they voted in one particular way. And, of course, it can work the other way, too. You know, somebody, I don't know. If she'd found out he was a Bernie Sanders supporter and she was a Trump supporter, then ended it right there. See, what's a big part of what's happening in our society is that these groups are becoming polarized and stovepiped, and they only talk to each other instead of talking with people who have different points of view. So the attitude that the other person is wrong just because they have a point of view that you disagree with, that's something which does not create good relationships. You know, and these attitudes, that's where the attitude starts. And the way that it manifests is often in terms of things like right or wrong, you know, moralizing or preaching or judging, criticizing. You know, you're wrong to vote that way. You're wrong to believe that. Disagreeing. Or fixing. You know, let me explain it to you. And once I explain it to you, you'll see things my way. You know, what I often call the pains in the ask, advice, suggestions, and solutions. And certainly things like name calling and ridiculing or shaming, using sarcasm, joking, being passive aggressive. I mean, these are all attitudes that block communication. And I encourage you to keep the objective in mind. So what is the objective? Again, let's come back to Thanksgiving and the holidays. Who are you with? You're with your family and hopefully your extended family. Again, these are relationships that you essentially don't choose. You don't get to choose. And, you know, I recognize that there are certain times, certain situations, particularly in the case where there's an abusive person in the family, that unfortunately the healthiest thing is to cut that person out. But that's an extreme. You know, and when, sometimes when I express this to someone who finds it difficult to accept, they'll bring up something like, "What about abuse?" And I have to agree. I mean, if somebody is abusive, that's a relationship, regardless of their familiar relationship. You know, it is not healthy to be in a relationship of any kind with an abuser, period. But that's an extreme case. And again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It happens all too often. Most, however, don't fall into that category. You know, your crazy uncle who, believes in aliens or whatever, or voted for Trump, for crying out loud. That's not abusive. So what is the objective? Everyone I know, the breaking up of a familiar relationship is always a painful thing. Again, sometimes it's a painful necessity, but regardless, it's always painful, regardless of the circumstances. So what is your objective? So you're sitting there listening to somebody say stuff that you disagree with. And what is your objective? Is it to convince the other person? Or is it to hear and understand their point of view? And that's how I define validation, hearing and understanding somebody's point of view. And it's not the same as agreeing. I can validate your point of view, and I don't have to agree. So, I mean, is your objective to prove the other person wrong? Or is it to build up the relationship, to enhance the relationship, regardless of the disagreements? Hopefully it's the latter. And if it's not, if your main objective is to prove the other person wrong, then I got to ask, how's that working for you? For all the rhetoric on Facebook, and I sometimes participate and express my views, I have yet to see anybody's mind get significantly changed. I have yet to see somebody who's adamant in one point of view all of a sudden when hearing what somebody on the opposite side says, say, oh, you're right. Boy, I've been dumb. Said no one ever. So let's come back to Thanksgiving dinner. It's all about you. I said, be the change. So if you're angry or impatient or frustrated with what the other person is saying, understand it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with you. Specifically, what you're thinking and what you're believing. Again, if you're angry, impatient, frustrated, upset, any one of the millions of negative feelings, it's not about them, it's about you. And more to the point, there's something that you're thinking and believing that is causing you to feel that way. Typically at the bottom is some kind of should or shouldn't. So, you know, she should see that I'm right about this, or he shouldn't believe that, or they should do this, or they shouldn't do that. It's not that there's anything wrong with having a should. And we all have them. But it's a stumbling stone, and more to the point, it's often a stumbling stone to seeing reality as it really is. I love a quote by Byron Katie, and she says, when you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. A should is arguing with reality. If you think, you know, he shouldn't do that, but he did do that. The reality is, he did that. If you say you shouldn't do that, then you're arguing with reality. And as Byron Katie says, you're going to lose, but only all the time. So it's all about you. So, and that leads to how to overcome any difficulty that you're having. in this. And I have to confess, if I did this perfectly every single time, if I stayed in my aware heart and I was listening and validating and tracking the other person all the time, chances are I wouldn't be doing a segment like this or teaching as I am. I'd maybe be off in a monastery somewhere or something. I would be far more enlightened than I am. I don't get this all the time. However, when I don't, I'm mindful of the fact that I haven't. And so that leads to how you can overcome and move past any difficulty that you're having. And the first place is to start by noticing it. And you can notice it after the fact. It's really hard. Once things get triggered and emotions get very fired up, it's hard to stay conscious in that moment. But do what they call an after-action review in the military. In other words, think back, and maybe right now, think back to the last conversation you had that didn't go well. Replay what was said from an objective distance. Recognize what you were thinking and believing and feeling. And remember that wonderful tracking tool that I talk about, which is a way of validating the other person without agreeing with them. So maybe write down what the other person said that set you off. And then come up with ways that you could have tracked that. Better yet, if you know somebody who knows tracking, role play with them. Get them to play. Well, you can do it depending on how well they know. If they know tracking, one way to do it is you play the person who set you off, and they can track. They can show ways of tracking, and then you can switch so that they be the person who said something that triggered you, and you get to try out different tracking responses. Inquire, and this is maybe even a little deeper, inquire into yourself as to why you were unable to hear the other person's message. See, every argument as opposed to conflict is a result of not really being able to hear the other person. Usually, it's both parties who are not hearing the other person. And you can't hear the other person when you're trying to convince them that they're wrong and you're right. So what was there about that? You see, if you really delve into that, this is all about you. What was it about you that made it hard to hear? And what was it about you that caused the trigger? See, because if you're reacting, which is, the strong emotional response that kind of starts to raise the temperature and just fuel the fire, that has to do with something going on inside of you. Again, it could be a belief that you have. I mean, that's certainly always an element. But way down at the core of that is some kind of pain or fear or anxiety that is in you. And if that is what is driving the way that you communicate with the other person, then things are pretty much guaranteed to go off the rail. That's the opposite of being conscious, being driven by these old wounds, being driven by your emotions. And there's nothing wrong with emotions, but who's in charge? Is it your mindful consciousness, or is it your reactive feelings? So what was that? What was that going on? What was your fear? if somehow the other person, what the other person was expressing, just wasn't immediately confronted and contradicted. And consider making amends. Now, a lot of people, I encounter a lot of resistance to this concept. To say, why should I make amends to them? They're the ones who were wrong. Again, what is your objective? Is your objective to prove them wrong, to make them wrong, to keep them wrong? Or is it to have a good relationship? And the idea of amends is to acknowledge your part in things, because it does take two to tango, which is a cliche, but you don't have to show up at every fight you're invited to. You don't have to show up at every argument you're invited to. And I guarantee that if you choose to track instead of argue, that the temperature will lower, and at some point, the other person will basically let out this sigh, a release of energy, because they felt heard and understood. And in that moment is when you can start to express your point of view. Again, without making the other person wrong. Just because you have a different point of view doesn't mean that they're wrong. And even if they think you're wrong, that doesn't make you wrong either. Now, one way to make amends is in the form of an impact statement, which I've spoken about in some previous segments. And remember, in an impact statement, you use only the pronoun I. And you acknowledge, in this case, like for making amends, you acknowledge what you did. Again, you don't take the blame for something that you didn't do. And it may have only just been a little bit, but whatever, how, you know, you may think, well, it was 20% me and 80% them. Well, the 80% that's them, that's on them. But if there's 20% of you, acknowledge that, make amends, express regret, and express that the relationship is important. And that in the future, you're going to make every attempt possible to not do that again. I mean, you may say something like, you know, I've realized that in the recent conversation together that I was being reactive and not, I found myself disagreeing with what was being expressed. And that interfered with my being able to hear what was being expressed completely. I very much regret having done that and will make more of an effort in the future to be non-judgmental in conversations. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Notice that I did not use the pronoun you. I used only the pronoun I, because I'm taking responsibility for my part in it. So today I've talked about, in preparation for the holidays, how some ways of dealing with a situation where you disagree with what somebody's saying, recapping a little bit some of the attitudes that block communication, and some ways that you can overcome them and move past conversations that have gone off the rails. And until then, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I so appreciate joining me today. You can hear Speaking of Listening every second Monday at 5 o'clock right here on Good Vibrations Radio, usually about 10 after 5 is, but or so. To learn more about effective listening and more in my workshops, you can email me at ahbus@consciousawareheart.com. You can like me on Facebook at AwareHeart. Follow me on Twitter at Effect5Com. That's Effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. The You can visit my website at www.consciousorheart.com, where, among other things, I post the audio files of many of the past segments. And until then, remember, listen from your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago.
Well, that was Dr. Arnie Buss with Speaking of Listening. He's here, as he mentioned, on the second Monday of every month. Good Vibrations Radio starts at 5 p.m. Pacific time, goes to 6 p.m. Pacific time. There are a variety of guest hosts that come in throughout the month. So visit goodvibrationsradio.com to find out more about the variety of hosts. And you can also see when Dr. Buss will be back and connect over to him directly from there. Now, we have a couple of things going on this week. And one thing that we have to talk about is today our Venus in Scorpio, which conjuncted Jupiter also in Scorpio. And this is the two most hospitable planets in the zodiac, Venus and Jupiter, decide to take a walk together. But they're both in the sign of Scorpio. That's the whole point of a conjunction. Now, though Scorpio can be compulsive, driven energy, this is actually a pleasant transit, because it's a good time for expanding current relationships and a good time for new relationships. So take a listen to what Dr. Buss was talking about, to how you communicate with the people around you, and is your intention really to listen, or is your intention to tell them where they're wrong, or prove them wrong, or tell them what's right, or what's your real intention in the response? It's very difficult in this current environment sometimes to be willing to listen just for the sake of listening, because so many opinions are based on non-factual information. But yet, what's your real point? Is your point to make your point, or is your point to at least connect with the other person, give them an opportunity to express themselves so you can express yourself? Think about that. But this energy of Venus in Scorpio conjuncting Jupiter in Scorpio, it's a fortuitous day, but since it won't last a long time, you might want to take a little time and run out and buy your lottery tickets now. And then on the 16th, Venus in Scorpio will create a trine with Neptune in Pisces. And I've told you this before. Trines are karmic connections. They're predestined. They're laid out for each of us in a way to create a specific change in our lives. Now, that's, again, the planet of love, harmony, and beauty, dancing very nicely with the planet of dreams and fantasies. So the 16th is a day for being creative. It's a day for taking new approaches to old issues. And that's an important time for all of us to find new ways, because this time of year, we start thinking back to, oh, here's what I didn't do this year. Here's what I wanted to do. But we get stuck in that, in the backward, in the past, instead of keeping moving forward toward the future. So this energy on Thursday will actually help drive us forward by not taking the same approach, but taking a different road to get to where we want to go. The 18th, we're going to have our new moon in Scorpio, and this is going to be powerful, because with Scorpio as part of the new moon, all the drive and energy will be internal. Instead of working to get the task done, you'll spend more time on what feeds your soul. So leading up to coming out of Thursday's creativity and going into Saturday's new moon, what we're really going to experience is the opportunity to get clear on what is important to us, for us to be doing in our lives. Dr. Buss talked a little bit about purpose. Now, this is not going to clarify your life's purpose, but it will clarify if you, what you're doing is not what you want to be doing. It's not what you enjoy. It's not the type of work or career where you feel fulfilled, challenged, engaged. So this transit's also going to pull on that Chiron retrograde that we're going through right now. And it's going to push us to uncover our wounds inside of us, because whatever is holding us back comes from an inner wound, an inner child wound that we've been carrying most of our, all of our lives, actually, and haven't yet fully healed. So since life is really about spirals and not circles, and the spirals come back and ask us to go deeper and deeper into those issues inside of ourselves, this is the time to go deeper with this new moon into what's holding you back. What are your wounds? As Dr. Buss was talking about, when you communicate, you know, what's your real intention there? Well, it's the same thing here. If you're defensive about certain types of things, why? What's really underneath that? And once we gain awareness, we find those things begin to lose their power. And then on the 19th, Mars in Libra will square Pluto in Capricorn. So we've got our aggressive testosterone-driven planet of Mars ready to fight. And it is fighting with the planet of death, rebirth, and transformation. Now, this will be a challenging day on the 19th. And whatever you begin on Saturday, or whatever you begin on Sunday, chances are it's going to be challenged by someone or something. Be certain you have a solid, workable plan. Don't get defensive. Let whatever's going to happen, happen. Go back and rework if necessary. But if you have a solid, workable plan, just stand by it. But walk softly. Don't engage in the arguments. Don't engage in the need for the power plays. Be cautious in your response. Be cautious in your approach. And we've got some other things going on this month. But on the 22nd, the sun's going to move from Scorpio into Sagittarius. So this is really our last week of all that Scorpio energy, that deep unconsciousness. And if you haven't spent any time trying to get clear on what are your issues, what's important, this week is going to push you to do that. And even if you've done that, this week is going to push you deeper. So we're still dealing with the Neptune retrograde, but on November 22nd, it comes out of retrograde. And so we're going to have a Thanksgiving weekend where everybody's going to be a little bit off as Neptune starts going direct and that unconscious fantasy energy comes floating back out at us. So next couple of weeks are challenging, but they're informative if we take the time to go within. Now, this show will be replayed Sunday's Metaphysical Musings, so you'll hear more of that. And I'm going to enhance the astrology on Sunday as well. If you can't get to Metaphysical Musings through the Spirit Talk Network on Blog Talk, then go ahead and just pick up the podcasts, which are also posted on goodvibrationsradio.com. So I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to wish you good luck in exploring what's underneath, what's really important, and taking the action to move forward on the dreams in your life. We'll be back Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. with Joyce Muse, and she'll have all the celestial phenomenon laid out for us for the closing out of November and going into December. And that'll be a great way for us to face our Thanksgiving weekend with wisdom and knowledge and awareness. Thank you again for listening. Turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings. Namaste.